Hello, everyone, and welcome.
Should I give this bit a go?
Do you want to do it?
Should I give it a go?
Yeah, go on, go on, go on.
What do you usually say?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to On Your Left, an MCU podcast. My name is Josh.
Oh, okay.
This is all going to be in the intro, by the way.
Okay, cool. Hello, everyone, and welcome to On Your Left, an MCU podcast, where you have me, your co-host Samuel, joined by my lovely brother
Joshua.
There he is, my beautiful younger brother.
Oh,
and Josh, you usually do the entry,
charmed.
So I just jumped on that, but you can take it from here.
Hi, everyone. Yeah, this week we are going to be talking about, which I'm sure you're fully aware, the finale of Loki, episode 6, titled For All Time Always. The series is done, and geez.
Flown by.
I saw someone tweet the other day, I think it was Brandon Davis again, that WandaVision was 6 months ago.
Yeah.
It premiered. That feels crazy. But we've had three shows in that time.
Yeah.
Three amazing shows, and Loki, oh my God. I don't want to compare, but I think this one was my favorite. Absolutely was my favorite.
I don't like comparing either. But everyone seems to do it. And I saw an interesting one where they put Loki top.
Yeah.
Then second, they put WandaVision pre-Agatha reveal, Falcon and the Winter Soldier in third, and then WandaVision after Agatha's reveal. I was like,
well, you can't do that.
Yeah. First of all, you can't do that.
No, but, you can't split a show by its episodes.
But I thought, is that a thing? Is that what people were like, they're not happy with after the reveal?
That sounds like one person's got a particularly a gripe and is trying to make a point.
It went about a bit, though.
Did it? But yeah, I loved how it wasn't scared to really dive into the sci-fi fantasy and the kind of space-time fuckery. Because this whole multiverse idea and variants, and obviously opens a very wide scope of what they can do and what they can play with, and they just, it looks like they really wanted to go for it.
It was such a good finale.
Yeah.
I've seen people sort of complain about it just being a very talky.
The whole series has been, but
it really, really didn't need anything more than what it was.
No, we don't need some big punch up at the end to end a film. It's not like an action film. This is, if anything, this was a character exploration, especially for Loki and Sylvie.
Yeah.
And it was, and I didn't once think, oh, they're talking too much. I wanted to sit and listen.
Yeah, yeah.
I wanted to sit and watch Jonathan Majors. Like, I'm just going to like, MVP, absolutely incredible.
I think that's probably the main reason why it was just absolutely acceptable just to sit there and watch these three people chatting, because his performance was,
oh my God,
I didn't expect us to get into it, but yeah, but it was just the best sort of introduction to the best introduction to any character ever in the MCU, probably.
Because I would say, because it aligned with what we expected, but it also subverted those expectations, because it was what we all kind of thought it was. And, you know, even though, you know, they blended two characters in terms of, you know, Nathaniel Richards, Kang the Conqueror, and He Who Remains.
Yeah. And someone else.
That's like a different character.
The Immortal or something?
Immortus.
Immortus.
I think that's just another name for Kang.
Yeah, but I've seen, you know, more about the backstories of these characters, but I've seen, especially in terms of what he was wearing as well, it was very Immortus.
Yeah. All right, that's cool. But yeah, so I have a lot that I want to say about him, so I guess we'll get into that later.
Yeah. Really excited to get into this one.
Doth thou have any news?
Does thou have any news? There is quite a bit of news, actually. Where are we? So, starting off right off the top of the bat, if that's the saying. If you're ever on the top of the bat and you want to talk about some news, that's the saying. WandaVision got 23 Emmy nominations.
Oh, mate, yeah.
Which is absolutely incredible.
Do you have a list of what they are?
I was just about to say, so I listened to Phase Zero podcast, Brandon Davies, the guys at comicbook.com's podcast, and they listed it, and it went on forever. So no, I'm not going to list them, but they have...
quickly.
Josh, it's 23.
Oh, you can read fast, can't you? I got it.
Outstanding limited series. Outstanding lead actress in a limited series. Outstanding lead actor in a limited series. Outstanding supporting actress in a limited series. Outstanding director for a limited series. Outstanding writing for a limited. Outstanding production design. Outstanding casting. Fantasy. Single camera. Period. Main title design. Period or character makeup. Music composition. Original music and lyrics. Original main title theme. Music supervision. Sound editing. Sound mixing and special visual effects. All of those begun with outstanding. So that is Elizabeth Olsen, Paul Bettany, Catherine Hahn, and Matt Shakman. Incredible.
Especially, typically, superhero stuff doesn't get nominated for anything.
No. So no. It gets so overlooked. It took for us to join TV to us. God, I'm talking like a football fan. Like I'm involved somehow.
We are one.
They often get overlooked, and it took for Marvel and superheroes to kind of start obviously there have always been TV shows, but they've just kind of been like Saturday afternoon, your Flashes, your Green Arrows, where these were like sci-fi drama, epic.
Marvel got 28 in total, so there's five more there somewhere. I can't remember exactly what they are.
Oh, okay.
No. But one of the additional ones is Don Cheadle got a nomination for his like 30 seconds in Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
I wonder why that is. He performed it great. It seems like his tweets, he's like, I don't know.
Yeah, he's like, okay, I'll accept it, but I don't really get it.
It was a very powerful, moving scene.
Yeah.
It was so strange. But especially as the rest of that show wasn't included in any Emmy nominations. Loki definitely would have won some, or nominated for some if it was in there.
So that's great news. So hopefully WandaVision, hopefully they win all 23. The Hollywood Reporter, although this hasn't been sort of officially confirmed, but it sort of makes a little bit of sense now, or a lot of sense now, that Loki is to appear in Doctor Strange 2.
Oh.
He was conveniently in London whilst they were filming, but I use the word conveniently loosely, considering he likely lives in London.
Bendy Batch or Hiddleston?
Hiddleston, yeah.
Yeah, he probably does, doesn't he?
Yeah, he probably has a few places, let's be honest. But
Especially as they're recording a lot of the Marvel stuff in England now. It's not like they have to be in LA anymore.
Yeah, I think Captain Marvel was scheduled to be in England as well.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah. Tax breaks.
Yeah. In an interview with Rotten Tomatoes, Feige was asked about the connection with the Sony films and will we ever see characters like Venom and Mobius in the MCU. And in typical Feige's...
Morbius.
Oh, yeah, Morbius. Not Mobius. He's Loki's
he's
mate.
There.
Yeah. And in typical Feige fashion, he just said, I've worked in Marvel long enough to know to never say never.
Never. Yeah.
Yeah, so... it seems now with the ending of Loki, all of that seems like a considerable possibility now, let's be honest.
Why not?
Yeah.
I mean, we just had the Deadpool and Korg video about Free Guy.
Check that out. That is so funny.
Yeah, that was funny.
so good.
I was impressed how well they did Korg for what was just a 2-minute advert.
I guess they've just... They've probably got him on a file, though, haven't they? And you just pluck him out.
Yeah. It looked like it was like someone in a bodysuit and then they animated the face.
Yeah.
But that's what I thought it may have been. But hey.
It was really good.
It was good. Yeah.
And almost reluctant to say this because I don't like to dive too much into this, but there is just so much of it about the Spider-Man toys that got released this week. Did you see them?
Released? No, I didn't see them.
Yeah. So like Hot Toys, they're like, you know, really high standard toys. They're like...
Hot on it.
They're like, £300 a toy. And Spider-Man is in like a black and gold suit. He's got some sort of magical circular thing in the center of his top. He's fire. It's like, it looks sort of Doctor Strange
style. That was from on Reddit.
Yeah.
I saw someone edit some picture and it was like Spider-Man in that exact suit, and I just thought, oh, that's just, you know, something I haven't seen from a comic or whatever, but it turns out.
Yeah, so that's linked to No Way Home. It's likely to be sort of relevant to the story, I imagine, but also I imagine if there are other Spider-Men in the film, Tom Holland's going to have to wear something that sort of differentiates him from the others.
Mm.
And it's another reason to sell more toys, let's be honest.
Or it could be a Spider-Man from a timeline where he is the master of Mystic Arts. Ooh. What's it called again?
That's true, yeah. Could be. If, you know, all other variants. Yeah, master of Mystic Arts.
Yeah.
Master of masturbating arts. Oh, and actually, sorry, this is a bit of news that I had forgotten. So the big Dutch giant who played...
Oh, Ursa Major.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He played the huge guy in the gym that the Red Guardian broke his hand in an arm wrestle.
Yes, yeah.
He called him... what did he call him? He called him a big bear or something? He referenced him a big brown bear or something. And the guy who played him... His Instagram name is the Dutch Giant because he's absolutely fucking massive. He's Instagram saying, Marvel Black Widow is out. After 2 years, I can finally tell you who my character is. It's a major with a bear emoji. Mutant X-Men that appears in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So he's I don't know whether he's allowed to say that, but he's...
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking in my head.
He's confirming that that's the first mutant... In the MCU.
All right.
So
it's happening, guys.
Mm.
Well, he's not. Well, I guess he... Well, but the thing is, mutant gene normally, you know, shows itself in teenage years. So why isn't he just turning himself into a bear at that point there? Or is it going to be like a Deadpool thing where it gets released but through trauma? But hey, who knows? They can do it anyway, can't they?
Yeah, but they can... I mean... Maybe they're going to do it slightly differently, which I imagine
they will.
The same way
Scarlet Witch's power was unlocked by the Mind Stone. Who knows?
Yeah.
Some sort of cosmic release of energy, which has just happened.
They will have to be mutants, though, won't they? They would have to have that for that X-Men sort of... So that's what they're about, aren't they? We wouldn't be able to do it without them being mutants. Because I was just thinking then, I wonder whether they would just be able to do it the same way that the MCU's being. There's just people with powers.
No, I think
it has to be separate, wouldn't it?
Yeah, because the message of being like a mutant is that they are ostracized from society and such because they are seen as the other.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a big part of them, so that wouldn't happen. So shut my mouth.
Right, so was that the news?
That was the news.
That
this
was
week.
The news. We're all out of news for this week. I'm sure there's more as happening as we're talking, because that always happens. We end recording, I look on Twitter, and there's like a trailer for Shang-Chi or something. Yeah. And I'm like, damn it, every time.
Yeah. Motherfuckers.
Yeah. All right, let's get into the app.
Let's get in.
Let's do this.
He who remains.
Oh, I've been dubbed many... Names by many people. A ruler, a conqueror. You kill me and destroy all this, and you don't just have one devil, you have an infinite amount. Or you two run the thing.
What are you doing?
Sylvie, hang on a moment.
What if by taking him out, we risk unleashing something even worse? This is bigger than our experience.
Why aren't we seeing this the same way?
Because you can't trust, and I can't be trusted.
Aren't you gonna beg for your life?
Okay, so Loki, episode 6, the finale. Obviously directed by the amazing Kate Herron, who is just... What she's accomplished in this series as a whole is no short of fantastic and incredible.
Let's talk about that beginning, first of all.
That gave me chills.
Yeah.
Absolute chills.
How good was that?
Yeah. And the fact that it was...
Oh, I love that song. Even
like the whole way through.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
It just sucked you like right in. Just took you back to every one of those little things that you could hear. It was like...
Yeah.
What does all this mean?
But then it was also amazing. Just like when obviously there's like sound bites of scientists. And they're saying... Time isn't just a straight line.
Mm.
Oh, no, then it goes out and it's like all these black holes and there's all these galaxies and stacked and blah, blah, blah. It's all amazing. And And the fact that we're hearing all of these Marvel films and then it shows the big line. And I was just kind of thinking, to me, that's saying like everything is happening at all time, always. Yeah. And it's a weird, because yeah, it was beautiful, it was lovely, but it's also a weird foreboding thing. And then that, like, because all of these things happen all the time, always, it makes you question like the meaning of all of it. Yeah, you know, because it's almost meaningless. It's kind of crazy.
I wondered as well, because it ends on Sylvie saying, open your eyes.
Yes.
And but prior to that, you're hearing sort of like world leading scientists, as you say, and activists and all these sort of like, you know, people on pedestals and things who have done and achieved monumental things. And now it ends on Sylvie, who is the one who's just blown open the multiverse.
Yeah.
So it's like, is she now like, you know, one of these names because she's caused.
Oh, so she's a part, like at the same like level of like kind of discovery and creating.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because
of,
like, she's now
of time. Yeah, yeah.
She's caused the multiverse to like blow wide open.
Yeah, it turned into like synapses and stuff, like blood vessels and.
It looks like nerves, doesn't
vein,
it?
Nerves, that's it. Nerves and veins. Yeah, that's incredible.
I don't really understand why, but
it's just because there's so many. It's just like, it's just infinite timelines.
Christ. Crikey.
So yeah, I mean, obviously it's quite like, you know, a bottle episode in that it's only really in two locations. Well, three, I guess, if you include the school, which is a very brief section there. But it opens up with Sylvie and Loki crossing the threshold of this citadel, as Loki names it. And there's an awesome shot here and it really made me jump, where they're focusing. There's a soft focus on the door that's in the distance. And then Miss Minutes just goes, hi, y'all! Yeah. And I was like, oh, jeez!
That, that building, and I like the way they had styled it as well, with like all the cracks, as if they were sort of like representation of the multiverse almost. It was just, it was a cool looking thing.
Stitched together. And also, we don't know, like, it's literally been there for eons and eons and eons, millions of versions of time.
The statues, I noticed, had like clock faces.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Thanks. And then they went into that room, didn't they, where there was like a broken statue. But then the other three that were standing were the timekeepers.
Oh, so there was a fourth.
Yeah. I wonder what the story is behind that, whether that was sort of like another variant coming to kill Kang, something like that, and they've had a bit of a tussle. Or, yeah,
just not could've wanting to ever fix it.
Yeah, yeah. You didn't have the time.
So, yeah, we are very, very quickly introduce the elevators open. Well, first, Miss Minutes tries to give him, like, say, he's offering you a deal. She names him He Who Remains, and says if Loki wants to kill Thanos, if Loki wants to win the Battle of New York, if Loki wants the Infinity Gauntlet, you can have it. And then Sylvie can go back to her timeline, and no one will ever be like any different. La 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 la. And obviously, being the untrusting duo that they are, they see this as nothing but manipulation. It probably is.
Yeah.
It highly likely is. So they just ignore her. They're sticking to their mission, which is kill He Who Remains.
As well, if you wanted that, if you're Loki and you actually did want that, so you accepted that being given to you.
Yeah.
Like, it wouldn't feel right, would it?
Because
you would go and do those things knowing that you're just... you're going to do it. It's not, you're not like, you're not achieved it. It's just been given to you.
Part of him, I saw in his eyes when they said about the Infinity Gauntlet, like, you saw that there was a, like, almost something like, oh, really?
Yeah.
But I think it's maybe actually, you may have been at kill with Thanos, but my interpretation of that was not because he wants to be the king. He doesn't want to be on Thanos's throne, but he's, you know, I feel like he wants revenge on the person who killed him in another timeline. And as far as he knows, killed Thor.
Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of what I thought, I felt. But like also in it,
to see his family again.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
To go back to have and go back to a time where he would have them.
Yeah, Oh yeah, you could bring Thrigger back if you wanted. Keep Odin out of the Odin sleep.
Yeah. Yeah, because he wouldn't need to do that, would he?
No. And he could kill Hela.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, all those things. Yeah.
All those things.
And it would have just been such a detriment to everything that's developed through these six episodes of him as a character and the changes he's gone through just to go back to where he began without having changed.
Yeah. But this takes us to the best reveal.
Yeah. Elevator doors open. George, you were right. That statue looked like Jonathan Majors. It's Jonathan Majors. Mm. And just casually leaning back, eating an apple. And he, as they say, he's just flesh and blood. He's just the man. Which I love if he's the next quote-unquote big bad.
Yeah.
He's just a human. He's not obviously not a normal human, but he is just a human.
Yeah.
He's not a big titan. It's kind of cool. But he's still, you know, terrifying.
He says he's from the 31st century as well, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So he's like, but we're at the end of time, but we don't have any idea of how long he's been there.
Well, he says that he's lived a million lives. Yeah, a million lifetimes. So, I mean, God knows how many times he's had Sylvie and Loki at his desk.
Yeah.
But maybe this time he just tried something different. So he plays it so fascinatingly that he's also kind of like silly, cute. What I saw is that's someone acting as if he hasn't had sleep in God knows how long. That's like that kind of delirium, quirky, kind of funny.
Locked in a room for years, sort of insanity almost.
But also, I mean, I feel like that's how someone would act if you were the person who had infinite knowledge of everything and everything that happens all the time. Nothing's kind of going to be a surprise to you.
Yeah, yeah.
So that when you see later on in the episode, when he says himself, we've just crossed the threshold, he opens up a bit more because everything's new to him. And he's seen like the world through like this, like with such big open eyes and such interest that this must be the first time in eons that something new has happened.
I thought he was almost quite like Willy Wonka like.
Like, I see what you mean. Yeah.
Sort of like very flamboyant and friendly almost, but like there was an edge.
Yes, there's darkness. Yes, 100%.
Yeah. And he's, you know, so he's battled many variants of Kang and come out on top. So although he's like nice or whatever,
he's the most powerful.
I'm assuming he's come out on top because he's then obviously created this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I was trying to decipher which, like, is he the original Kang in his story? You know, when he says, he doesn't always reference himself when he's like showing the story.
I don't think he references himself at all, does he?
No, but he doesn't. So Kang, or He Who Remains, uses his temp pad to show the little story. It says, you know, me or there's a person that in the 31st century discovered that there are universes stacked on one on top of each other. And at the same time, other versions of him were discovering the same. They crossed time doors or dimensional doors and shared technology and built all of these things, wonderful things. And but then he says there were versions of him that weren't so noble. They were more interested in conquering and domination. Mm, mm. So they, all these multiple different versions of himself, were what caused the multiversal war. He says, but then there was one Kang who discovered Eliath. And then the next sentence he says, I figured out how to harness his power. I weaponized him.
Yeah.
So I think that he may have been that first one.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess it doesn't even matter if he did, because at the same time he's discovering it, a million other versions of himself are discovering it at the same time. Yeah.
I loved it when he was explaining how he's got many different names, and he went, the Conqueror.
Yeah. Kind of like take the piss out of himself.
But then also later on when he really like, I didn't think he like lost it. He just was, not even mad. He was just getting his point across sort of almost aggressively. But when he went to Sylvie and just said, grow up, Sylvie.
Yes. Yeah.
That was so good. It was the way he did that. But that whole performance was, like I said earlier, it was just the best introduction.
I think Willy Wonka is a really good kind of analogy.
Yeah, yeah. And I felt, my first thought when I noticed him like eating an apple was, I feel like it was like a slight callback to Doctor Strange, where we first see time, them demonstrating going back and forth in time,
oh,
and he demonstrates
apple.
On the apple.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, yeah.
And I just wonder whether that was either like just a fun character thing for him that he decided to do himself, or it was actually a slight little nod back to...
Possibly. Yeah, I wouldn't know what the significance of the apple would be, because...
Or could it be like an Adam and Eve thing?
Oh, I think, yeah, I think that could be. He's given him the poison knowledge.
Mm.
Oh, yeah, I like that. That could be cool.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how benevolent he is in the information he gives them. I'm not sure how innocent he actually is. I think he's telling the truth. But I think the way he kind of phrases stuff and he leads them in certain directions, I feel like it was all quite intentional. And the way it ended, I think possibly the threshold talk is also maybe a manipulation and a lie. He does know. He wants to die. He needs us to die. But or he just knows it doesn't matter. Because he says, even if you do it, I'll end up back here again anyway. For like millions of years down the way. Because I guess existence to him doesn't matter. He's kind of so nihilistic because he understands that it is happening all the time, always. It will continue to happen. It will happen. It doesn't matter if I die because I will live somewhere else a million times over. It's so Rick and Morty. It really is. There were a few times in terms of that kind of nihilistic exploration of existence. So there are moments in this episode that he says, what does he say? When Loki tries to get an answer quickly, he goes, oh no, you can't reach the end of the journey without having changed.
Oh yeah.
And then he talks about thresholds, and all of these are like meta references to storytelling. So, and the reason it made me think of Rick and Morty and Community, because it's kind of connected that to Dan Harmon and his story circle, which is what he uses to create narrative in TV shows.
Right.
It's
okay.
It's a simplified version of Joseph Campbell's the hero's journey, which is like a narrative story device. So basically, it starts off, you establish the protagonist, they have a need, something isn't right. And then the third step is they cross a threshold where they leave their home to go in search of this thing they need.
Right.
Which is step four. And in step five, they find it, which is called the meeting of the goddess. Six, they take it, where they meet the maker. And seven, then they have to return home. They make the journey to return home having changed. And then they go back to the beginning again, but having changed. So they go back home, but having changed. And I realized the connections even further, why they would be why these guys would be influenced by this, is because so many of the writers, including Michael Waldron himself, have worked on Rick and Morty.
Right. Okay.
So I know, Rick and Morty's got a bad rep and all of that stuff, but in terms of what they talk about in space, time, travel, and all that stuff, it's kind of like fun and fascinating. And he was doing this kind of self-referential meta stuff in Community. So, Michael Waldron, he did an episode called The Old Man in a Seat, and he also produced Rick and Morty. Tom Kaufman, who did episode 5, he wrote an episode called Froopy Land, which was really ridiculous. Eric Martin, he wrote something. And Jeff Loveless, who's doing the screenplay of Quantumania, he wrote an episode of Rick and Morty called the Vat of Acid episode, which won an Emmy. And there's also Jessica Gao, who's going to be writing She-Hulk. She wrote Pickle Rick episode. So it's really kind of amazing to see Dan Harmon's influence a little bit in these stories. And then just to see Loki itself referencing storytelling, where I was kind of like, wait, what's going on, man? But they can do it. That's the amazing thing. Because as I was saying earlier, they've opened the possibility of storytelling so wide that they can self reference. If they wanted, they could probably even break the fourth wall.
Yeah.
Because technically we would exist somewhere in that timeline.
Well, yeah. It's a weird, weird concept to think that he's happy to die because he will come back, but but he wouldn't be him.
Yeah, but to him that doesn't matter because as far as he knows, it is.
It's a strange concept.
Yeah.
But when he died, or when she stabbed him, same thing, he says, see you soon.
See you soon, yes.
And when Sylvie cut the head off of the timekeeper, you hear someone go,
that's what he says.
See you soon.
I was trying to, remember when I was trying to figure that out?
Yeah, yeah, they say
and
see
I
you
said
soon.
It sounds S sounds.
Yeah, yeah.
Ah, so close.
You did. You picked up on it. I forgot about that. And I saw it on a video somewhere. But yeah, he says, see you soon.
Couldn't figure it out.
Yeah.
Really couldn't figure it out. That's awesome.
So he, it makes you think, or Sylvie, as much as she would like to think she is making her own decisions, he knew from that moment, well, at least from that moment onwards, that that was exactly what was going to happen.
Yeah.
So he knew the threshold was going to be broke there, maybe that suggests, and be killed.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I feel like he put the offer in a table of them doing it because he knew it would divide them.
Yeah, yeah.
They said, you're lying so much in this episode.
But you could see it in Loki's face, couldn't you, when he was starting to... He wants. She can't help but think about making these decisions for herself. But Loki's at a place where he's seeing the bigger picture, isn't he? Not just the TVA, but the whole universal universes.
Yeah, he's actually thinking like
a hero
himself,
almost.
Like a hero. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And then just when he says, "I just want you to be okay,"
yeah,
and it's just such a shame that she's still hell bent on her revenge that she can't see past it. And when they're fighting, and he's like, "Sylvie," like that's the first time I feel like you've seen in fights in films where they actually felt like how they would happen. In yes, they're perfectly choreographed,
yeah,
but to have someone being like backing up and be like, "Sylvie, like please stop," yeah. Like it felt very real, and kind of raw.
Almost shocked me as much as the Miss Minutes appearance when he when he like jumped out in front of her.
Oh yeah, how did that chop his head off?
Yeah, yeah. Maybe because she's a Loki, she like felt him coming or something.
Mm.
But
you heard like a dink. Or I don't know. Maybe it's just he's well-ard. But I guess who we haven't really like mentioned as part of the story yet is Renslayer and Mobius.
Yeah, yeah,
and B-15. So B-15 leads some of the Minutemen to the school where real life every day Renslayer exists as a head teacher. So therefore they're opening the minds of all of the Minutemen, basically. That seems like that's their mission to free them from their control and recruit them for the side of good.
Mm.
Mobius goes back to the TVA, confronts Renslayer. She had earlier been given documents by Miss Minutes, and she says, these aren't the ones I asked for, but Miss Minutes says, oh, he thinks these will suit you better or work for you better. We don't see what they are. We don't find out what they are. And then later on, when she's having the conversation with Mobius, Mobius just gets kicked to the ground. It's so funny. I thought maybe he was going to maybe at least do a bit of a better attack.
You know, I struggled to hear him at some points here. He was really like, damn it.
Yeah, it's just Owen Wilson.
Yeah, I was like, speak up. My kids are asleep. I can't turn the telly up.
Yeah. Obviously, a really touching moment here when she kind of... you feel for her a little bit, but I still obviously think she's in the wrong, where she's saying that he betrayed her for a couple of Lokis.
I wonder whether it was the blip when they went and got her. Because that was 2018...
When they went to it, was it?
Yeah. 2018, it said it was. So that would have been within the blip, I imagine. But but then Loki went into the TVA in 2012. From his 2012. So, God, I don't even...
But the thing is, it doesn't matter. You can't think of in time of that linear fashion. It, like, doesn't matter. There's even a point at the beginning of this episode where... Sylvie says, when they're preparing to go through the door, Sylvie says, look, I was kidnapped before you even existed. So, like...
Yeah, it's great. It makes your mind boggle.
I don't know. Because you can go forward, you can go back, go left, right. It kind of doesn't really matter in a way. But yet, time still obviously does still pass. But anyway, yeah, so Renslayer, she is packing up. Obviously, she's found out some information. She's been given some sort of information, and she's shouting at Mobius. And she says the only person who has free will is the person at the top. I'm guessing she means He Who Remains, Kang. And then later, when she's going through the time door after decking Mobius, he asks her, where are you going to go? She says, to find free will. So she's going to go look for Kang? Does she want a slice of, you know, the top? Does she want to be, you know, she not only does she want to find out who is at the top, but maybe she wants to be up there as well.
She's looking for free will. So maybe that suggests that she wants to be at the top with whoever it is.
Yeah.
Not just she doesn't want to, because it didn't seem that she wants to find him and or them and take them down, did it?
She still seems very much on the side of the TVA. So Kang offers these guys to lead TVA, his job. It seems no matter which option they decide to take, he has to die. Because what he's like, you can either kill me. And everything goes into disarray.
Yeah, it wasn't clear to me what it specifically was that broke the multiverse, because it happened before she killed him.
Well, it was starting to split when they crossed the threshold.
Yeah, but
when he says he doesn't know what's going to happen anymore. So
yeah,
whereas,
but why did that happen then?
Because maybe before, maybe the multiple times that they've tried to get there, he's stopped it. Maybe this is the first time he's allowed it. He created the path for them to walk along to get to this point where he's going to offer them up the job. So that already kind of small, insignificant change, well, not insignificant, fundamental change, alone was enough to start splitting it.
Right.
Because it's new directions forming. And
Because I don't understand that he died and then that then created the multiverse, because this person who's running the sacred timeline. But yeah, I was struggling to get my head around that bit.
Yeah. But then if they took the job offer, then does that mean all three of them are just going to do it together? Or where does he go? Does he just stop control it? Does he disappear? In either way, I feel like he has to disappear, right? For them, if they're going to control it.
Was he not suggesting that he dies no matter what?
I feel like that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I think that he was suggesting that you take the job, but kill me, because I'm going to...
But then he also says, "But you know, or alternatively, you kill me and, you know, you meet my variants." And so if you think I'm evil, wait until you meet my variants. So
I feel like
it was always going to happen. He knew it was going to happen. So question is, who are we meeting in Quantumania? Which one? Is it just going to be one of the many? Is it going to be his original self? Is it this one that we see in, you know, the final scene, statue?
I think that it's Kang the Conqueror. The Conqueror!
The Conqueror, yeah. I'm curious at which time in his existence has he come from, if you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
At what point? So I'm really looking forward to it.
Because I know, obviously, Doctor Strange and Spider-Man, they're going to be obviously very multiverse heavy, but I don't think we're necessarily going to have anything from Kang in those films.
I don't think so. No.
So, because Mordor's supposed to be... Is it Mordor? What's his name?
Mordor?
Mordor.
That's Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, Lord of the Rings. I think it's something like Mordor. Mordo? Mordo?
Mordo, yeah. Carl Mordo.
Mordo. He's the big bad, almost, in that film.
But he wants to take out sorcerers, didn't he?
I think that ending is more of a setup for Quantumania than anything else, and other than Loki 2.
Yeah, I feel Loki 2. So what we're referencing here is, so Sylvie uses this is why I think it's a manipulation, because He Who Remains makes such a point of like showing them where his temp pad is and what he can do, and then he takes it off and slides it down the table. And that's, I feel like he knows like Sylvie's gonna take it and like fuck Loki over. So which he does. She opens a time door, pushes him through. She stabs. But he remains. He says, "See you soon." Everything
when he
goes
did
crazy.
That, the framing, it was still looked like it was on his hand. So it's all like it almost
he's still
control of it.
Yeah, definitely.
You know what I mean? It's like symbolic.
Yeah. So yeah, then Loki is in the TVA. He sees Mobius and B-15. They're like, "Oh shit! Look at all these timelines." And they have no idea who he is.
Mm. Mobius goes, "What?"
Yeah. And then so then Loki looks out to one of the statues, and it's one of the more Kang looking version of He Who Remains. He looks like the ones when what are you smiling at?
I thought
that might have been a fart. Just the way you were smiling. Yeah, it's one of the in the little when He Who Remains is telling them the story of his past. It looks like one of the ones that were fighting. He's in that weird like headgear and stuff. So
that big sort of chest necklace piece thing.
Where is he? Where is Loki? He's in the TVA. Is he? Because before he gets to Mobius and B-15, they talk about units. He says, "Oh, is that in this unit alone?" So is he still in that massive open space that we saw, you know, outside the windows and stuff, but just in a different section of it? Where, you know, there's multiple, you know, maybe they don't interact with each other and whatnot.
Oh, so you see the letters on each shelf.
Yeah, so he could be in the same... still being within the same TVA, but in a completely different section of it.
Yeah.
Or is there now multiple TVAs? Or because there is a new statue, the original history of the TVA has been rewritten. So they never interact with Loki's because Mobius' job would be the same, but he doesn't know who Loki is. But he would know him, right?
Yeah.
If he's been working there, he would know him for oh, what are you doing here, Loki?
Millennia.
He doesn't know him. And the fact there's just one statue. So did Sylvie change the story of the TVA and its creation?
It's all too much for my head. I felt like it was a TVA from another timeline, but it was confusing because the whole time we're watching this show, there's been a sacred timeline and one TVA controlling it. And then there was other TVAs and it was kind of like, well, hang on a minute.
Yeah.
How does that automatically happen from those just because the timeline's been broken?
Well, yeah, because the fact is, because what happens then is it's as if it always was there.
Hmm. Yeah.
Because, you know, our time relative to that new timeline doesn't matter because we were never like a part of it.
I think from like a physical perspective as well, though. So like how is that always? It's so hard. How is that there? How has that constructively been there?
It's just, I don't know. I feel like I can understand it in my head.
There has to be another.
I can't explain it. It's time moves faster in one place than it does the other. And,
yeah. Well, do you know what's funny as well? This is a note I made, a very brief note. So we've been dealing with Thanos for like 10 years.
Yeah.
And that big, scary, bad, like one of the best villains of all time, of all genres. And people were like, Marvel is dead now that Endgame's been and gone. And now we've just got this Kang guy. Mm. Who is the polar opposite, flesh and blood, who has time stones just in a drawer. How different is it, but how equally menacing is it to have this guy instead of Thanos? It's brilliant how they've done it.
What I really like is that how Loki's at the forefront again of a drastic change and a new direction for Marvel stories.
Mm, yeah.
So how he was there at the beginning of the Avengers, he's the reason they came together.
Yeah.
So not only did he change, you know, in the Marvel Universe itself, where, you know, they created a team and changed the history of Marvel forever, he also changed, like, Marvel comic books, because that was, like, the first, like, team up, and so it helped direct, you know, right. the rest of the comics for the rest of time, blah, blah, blah. And then now Loki, and also, well, Sylvie mainly, but still a Loki, is now at the forefront of this new huge change. I kind of like it. I think it's like poetic.
That's good. Yeah. I thought of it that way. Mm. Do you think, because I think Quantumania is not supposed to be out till 2023. Do you think we're like more likely to see another Loki series before that film? I think that's possible.
I think that's easily possible.
Because if you think of it from a TV series point of view, and if, you know, each year there's a new series, isn't there, of, I don't know, just pick any show that comes out, like Call It Line of Duty, for example.
Hmm.
You know, each year there's a new series of it. That's how that works, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's obviously, I don't know, they're so, it seems, in one way or another, just easier for them to make now, or it's easier to distribute. Absolutely, you're getting things so fast,
and they're going to want to as well. Because let's not be about the bush here. Disney is a moneymaker, and the more that they can put on Disney Plus, there's no middleman. The money just goes straight into their pockets.
Yeah. There's absolutely no distribution.
Yeah, so they can make a show and put it on their own streaming service.
So at post-credits scene, I really, really enjoyed it, because they know we're going to stay there, and what a fantastic way to just stamp Loki will return. I was just like, yeah, that's so good. I loved it. It's so, like,
they're
it
so
just
good
felt
at those
so
little
on
things.
Form. But I want the same team. I want Kate Herron. I want Michael Waldron. I want Natalie Holt composing the music again. Mm. There was a beautiful moment of music I really loved, where Loki sat in the dark as he's just been sent to the TVA at the end of the film. It's very low, it's very string heavy, and then it just drops into the synth wave like music whilst he's like running through the TVA.
Yeah.
It's just that, because I don't normally notice music, I will be honest. It's not my first go-to.
No.
I kind of absorb it as part of the story. It's not something I actively think about, but that drop.
But same. Loki, it's been really prevalent. I don't know whether it's just because of the standard of the music or because it just fits the story so well. But
yeah.
We mentioned it before, didn't we? The theme tune and stuff. But yeah, it's really fits what's going on with what you're watching.
So yeah, season two. I mean, you could guess a million things. I mean, so there's the big bad is still Kang, but it's also going to be Renslayer.
Yeah.
So if she sought out free will, maybe it's those guys who've reshaped the TVA in a new. Maybe it's not Sylvie.
Yeah,
maybe it's those two. Like, it's a new version of it, and Renslayer made a point of not going after Loki's this time, or eliminating Loki's to begin with.
But they would still know who Loki is, like the same way that they would know who Thor is, surely.
Well, maybe, like, that's what I mean. Like, Renslayer's gone out of her way to make sure he doesn't exist.
Yeah, so it just continues.
Yeah,
that's not out of the realm of possibilities, is it?
No. How would Sylvie come back into play? Because she's just existing in a point of no time, just seeing this multiverse unfold.
She's not like an easy place to get to, is she? So she could sit there.
Yeah.
We got that tempad. She could do a lot of stuff.
Just stay there and wait until. Well, it depends what happens, really, because the multiverse and war could.
Yeah. Well, that's another thing.
Because this thing can't always have existed there, because Kang had to have created it, right?
Hmm.
Or discovered it, I guess.
Is this start of the next big sort of coming together of all characters, the Secret Wars?
Mm.
Do you think that's where this is going eventually?
But if it does, that's so far down the line.
Yeah. 20, I don't mean.
Yeah, like 2030.
They haven't even announced an Avengers film. Or whether even that would be.
I don't think there will be an Avengers film.
There have
might
to be though,
might
there?
Be a new Avengers or
young
Avengers. I don't think we're going to get Avengers again.
But wouldn't they have, from like a legal standpoint, or like for marketing reasons as well, wouldn't it have to be called Avengers?
I don't think it needs to.
No?
I don't think, it's not like when we're going to see Marvel films, we're going to see the Avengers, are we?
No.
It's it Marvel Studios is the title card, isn't it? Really?
Yeah. So do you think we're not going to have an Avengers team until perhaps the Young Avengers sort of become more prevalent? And then in between now and then, we're just going to have all these sort of side stories.
They probably will still exist, but not in the same way. And like, you know, like they said in the Eternals trailer when they're like, who's going to lead the Avengers?
Now? Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's why I think it might be more like New Avengers, or it could even split like it did in comics, New Avengers and the Mighty Avengers.
We've got all this multiverse stuff going on. And before we even get to Spider-Man, we've got Shang-Chi and Eternals still to come. I keep almost forgetting about these films because of...
But like, it's going to be hard now to think, I guess that's what the challenge is now of films moving forward, right? After we've seen Loki, where what we're watching is happening infinite times in infinite places at all time and no time, how do we care about it now?
I think timing will be, because I think Shang-Chi, for example, is going to be set during the blip.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. So I think that's how they could sort of play with that a bit and have the films. Mm. And then obviously Eternals is based over like a 3,000-year period or something. So
I mean, yeah, we're all going to like love it because of characters, essentially.
Yes. Yeah.
But I will always be thinking like, well, this will happen again all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, you're dead here, are you? But you're alive over there.
Snippet of what's going on. There's going to be stuff going on in like the cosmic side of things. There's going to be stuff going on in like the grounded sort of things, like we've just seen in Black Widow, those films. And
it's probably quite funny in that all of this has to maybe end by bringing it all back to one timeline again.
Because
if all the craziness and hell breaks loose, which looks like it's gonna, there's gonna be one point in the story where they have to just like bring it all back. And then it will happen again.
Yeah, because you know I don't feel like Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness is going to be the end of this sort of multiverse arc, is it?
No.
Because then you still got Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania to come. So I don't think that's just going to like be the end.
And
of...
then we've got the Fantastic Four as well.
Mm.
I'm interested. I was like when Kang was saying about how he discovered like the different universes in the 31st century. I was like, oh, okay, so Reed Richards never discovers it then, like prior to that, because in the comics, they're super, they're aware of the multiverse. They've gone between dimensions and timelines like all the time. Like, but then I guess Kang has come back in time. But then Doom's got a time. He's got a time platform. But anyway, yeah, I don't know.
Endless possibilities
of all time, always.
Right, should we go into questions?
Questions. We've got some emails, I believe.
We've got some emails.
Emails. My brother from the same mother.
We do. We have an email from JD.
My moderator on Twitch. And what a wonderful human being she is.
Cool. I didn't know that.
She keeps me in line.
She obviously doesn't like you very much because she says you smell. She's obviously not saying it about me. So
it's classic. Classic JD.
I haven't actually pre-read this yet, JD, so here we go. Well, hello there, friends. It's JD. So I binged the heck out of this podcast in a week, and I just want to say how absolutely amazing you guys are. Oh, thank you.
Oh.
But I do have a small request that the podcast lasts at least 2 hours longer because I get devastated every time it comes to an end.
If only, mate.
Yeah.
I think I said on stream the other day, it just takes like way too long to edit. And Sam doesn't have time in his life.
Though, yeah, I could, if I could get paid to just talk about Marvel all day, I would.
Yeah.
So if you want to cop up, JD, then that's fine. she says that she'll wait for the director's cut. Yeah, we'll get that right over to you, promise.
Yeah.
So she has some questions. I'm not a super Marvel nerd, so bear with me. She starts off, Sam, you were right. As always, thank you. Miss Minutes is a freaking bitch. What is her deal? Who created her and why do I want to punch her? Well, we now know Kang created her, I assume.
I'm assuming that.
Yeah.
But we don't know like what she is exactly.
No.
Is she just a program he created? Is she, I don't know. Yeah, no, is she like a living AI?
We know she can't be in two places at once, don't we? Because she,
yeah,
she turned up to Renslayer and was like, sorry, I'm late, sort of thing.
Yeah,
so it's,
yeah,
it's, she's more than just like a computer software.
I definitely think she's like a living AI. She's,
yeah,
like a metaphysical version of like what Vision is, essentially.
I want to see her in Vision fight.
I've got time for that.
Miss Minutes v Vision. That'll be a minute.
Okay. Oh, JD's gonna hate that.
I'd like to see that in my Vision. One too many.
That was low-key bad.
Oh god. Right, move on. Question two. Where the heck did Judge Renslayer go? What does she know, and how dare she hurt Mobius like that? Sorry, JD, I think we've just touched on all of that.
Yeah, so I guess, yeah, we talked about that a little bit.
Yeah.
We still don't know the answer, but I guess free will. She's looking for free will, so she's looking for Kang. But yeah, how dare she knock, pretend to be Mobius' friend and then knock him on the ass. I guess he did try to prune her, but...
I like how he liked it, though. He was kind of like, oh.
Yeah. But if he had pruned her, she would have just gone to that place and then, you know...
Yeah.
I guess Eliath is still down, so she could have just walked straight into the Citadel and be like, what up?
Yeah. He would have actually helped her if he did that.
Yeah, yeah.
Assuming that's what she wants to find. Question three. What will Sylvie do now? Where will she go after getting her revenge? Will she help fight the other Kang variants?
Right, yeah, we didn't talk about this.
No. What
so
will she do
in
now?
The Citadel. So is she... I don't think she's going to sit there and start managing the timeline, is she? She doesn't care about that, it seems.
She's not going to sit down there long.
she released it. Well, she has to do something with that body.
I mean, she's going to go in hiding, surely. She's just caused a multiverse war.
I guess now, at this point, with there being infinite timeline, she could go find one where she could return home.
Yeah.
Or she could even return to her...
Oh, that's interesting.
She could return to like a version of her original one where she's been missing for however
long.
Yeah,
she could keep going back and forth trying to find the one that she's missing from.
Well, that'd, I guess, would she still would have been taken, though, if the TVA's changed, if you know what I mean? I mean, everything
this
happens.
This is what the bit everything I don't understand.
Everything happens at all times, so there would be a timeline where she is taken by the TVA.
Yeah. But, yeah, will she help fight the other Kang variants? I think possibly, yeah. Maybe if she trying to find her way home and then...
We're not going
to
have a season two without her, I don't think.
Yeah, no. Or maybe she... sits on his throne. Maybe she stays there.
Maybe she is Kang.
Yeah, maybe she becomes the Loki variant of Kang. Who knows?
Who bloody knows?
Stick around for season two, JD. Question four. Why did my heart break when Mobius didn't recognize him?
Yeah.
So, yeah, so he's in another timeline / universe, however you want to.
Yeah, all the same TVA, but different section. We really don't know. But either way, the fact that they don't know who he is makes me think it's a timeline where he's been erased.
Yeah. Well, I sent a question to Brandon Davies.
Yeah.
And he replied to me. Because I listened to his podcast and I messaged him and I said, you guys were talking about what to expect from the potential Maguire and Garfield appearances in No Way Home. Going by the story that classic Loki gave us of him escaping Thanos, I assume all variants lead the same main life story, just differing versions of it. So having said that, would that then mean Maguire and Garfield would just be variants of Holland's Spider-Man and the stories of their films not then being canon? He's come back to me with saying, I think their stories will be canon to themselves from separate universes' timelines. As in Richard E. Grant's Loki, say if he had a movie trilogy 20 years ago and then showed up in his movie, in this movie, same outcome, we would have just know more about him. He was asked if anyone was blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, so I think with that, that suggests that it is definitely an alternative timeline / universe, isn't it? As opposed to...
That's why you got to think, because I guess in the comics, they've never really said, like, variant, it's alternate versions of. normally is the phrasing they use, and they're from different dimensions or different timelines, or so you know, the normally they're like reflections of Earth 616, which isn't Prime Earth actually. I don't think it's the Prime Earth in the story. There's Prime, which was like the first ever one, and every other single one is a reflection of that.
If they're supposed to be this one sacred timeline, why is there other Lokis, for example, appearing?
Because they can't seem to, they can't stop all branches from forming. We saw it with the threshold.
Right.
So that's what they're doing. They're going in
they're
and
trying
stopping
to keep it contained.
It. Yeah, yeah. They still have to work. It's not like it's just solidly there all the time.
Yeah.
It's like I don't know, like a vine. You're pruning the
pruning
leaves.
these bloody vines.
They never say the word dimensions. So where, like, say, Mephisto, he is in another dimension. So, like, you know, he's in his own little hell area, this fire world. I can't remember what it's called. But so does that mean within his dimension there are multiverses? So there are like millions of versions of Mephisto as well, and that kind of stuff.
It would have to be, wouldn't it?
Yeah, because Doctor Strange and that talk about dimensional stuff. So are timelines different from different dimensions? So I don't know. Like, it's like too much.
Go on and on and on.
Yeah.
On and on and on.
I love it though.
So question five. I need to know more about the badass Hunter B-15. So do I.
Yeah. More screen time, please.
Yeah. And I'd be sad if we don't see the one that we've become familiar with anymore, because obviously now Loki's in a different...
another version of her, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But she is there somewhere because, you know, they're all planning to bring the TVA down and stuff.
Yeah.
But has that idea been erased? No, they must not exist. Oh.
Every question, every answer to the question is...
Well, that's the thing. Like, it answered one question and then asked like a million others.
This makes WandaVision look like a piece of piss to talk about.
To figure out, yeah.
Okay, it's question six. Does this other Mobius, does he still dream of jet skis? Will we ever see him ride one? Will that relationship with Loki have?
I reckon there's a whole timeline where everyone's a Mobius and they all ride jet skis around, even on the ground. They've got wheels on. And every plane is a jet ski.
I want to see like Waterworld 2 and it's Mobius and not Kevin Costner.
Yeah. Wow.
Question seven. What do you guys look forward to in season two? Do you know what? If it's going to set these many unanswerable questions, I'm not.
I would love to be in that writer's room. I wouldn't want it to be spoiled, but I'd love to just see their like process and how they figure out all these interweaving. But like you say, it would might have to come out quite soon because then else they're going to have to be balancing the story with all these other films that are going to be connected to the same multiverse stuff.
I think because if Kang's in Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania, which isn't out for a couple of years, it doesn't seem right that Loki season two would then come out after that. So we're at least talking 3 years time. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
I mean, so I would expect to see that before then.
Yeah, because even if they beat Kang, how do they beat Kang?
Yeah, you don't.
They beat Kang by letting that one Kang become the one Kang again.
Let's stop messing around here.
Let's just bring him back and let him look after the timeline again. Necessary evil.
Yeah, and don't mess around with Sylvie and Loki, Kang. Yeah. Just let them... and final question eight. What are we hoping to see... And what are your predictions? I actually think we've sort of covered that a little bit, JD.
But I also have, like, none. I just have... So they're here.
Like, I predict headaches.
Yeah, definitely. And lots of content. Sweet, sweet content.
The only thing I'm hoping for, and it's my favourite thing about all this, is how it all connects to each other. So I love... As much as I love Loki, I love the love to see like where it leaves us, because then I love to think about, you know, move on to the next thing and how they all interconnect back together and moving forward together and new characters coming in and
I'm also just like, what could their Loki and Sylvie's next stage of character development be? Because Loki, well, Sylvie's in a bad place, but Loki's in a pretty, no, he's in himself, he's in a good place. He's kind of, you know, he's finally come to terms with the truth of what he's always been seeking, and that's like to be loved and to be accepted and to be seen on like equal, you know, to be seen as important.
Yeah.
Whereas he's, you know, he's always felt like he's in the shadow of Thor, and he's, you know, not on equal footing, la la la. So how much into being a hero does he go now? But he's in a tight spot because everything he's developed with Mobius and B-15 is gone. They think he's some crazy person.
Didn't even recognize him.
No.
The god of Asgard.
JD wraps up her email by saying, okay, so that was more than some questions, but I'm not sorry. you guys are super enjoyable to listen to. You make it fun, and I live for the title names. we enjoy the title
names.
Yeah,
they're fun. Oh, I haven't really noticed one.
Oh, yeah. We haven't got one. usually one that stands
after
out.
After last week's banger.
Yeah. Another interesting point now is, I wonder, because it has been said that What If is canon. So I wonder whether it's like there's an animated multiverse.
Oh, yeah. Why not? Of course. I mean, you've already seen it in Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
They go into the 1960s cartoon, right? like everything that has ever existed does exist.
Yeah, so everything. Yeah. So we might get Ben Affleck's Daredevil appear.
Yeah, might get Batman.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be good. That's a wrap.
That sound is the sound of the end of the podcast. yes, JD, thank you so much for all those questions, you wonderful, wonderful bean.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you for your kind words. Appreciate that.
I feel like we kind of set people up for a loss because we asked them to talk about the show, but then we talk about everything. And then we have to skip some of the questions. But no, they were great. So bit of announcement in that we are gonna count this episode as the end of season one. Sam has quite a busy month.
Yeah, August is crazy month for me. Both my daughters are born in August, so we two birthdays, we have a party scheduled, I've got time off work and things, so it's we're gonna
take a little bit of a break.
Come up with some new, fresh ideas for season two.
So mainly it's going to be a break for Sam, but for instance, when What If comes out on the 11th, if I'm not working on the weekend or whatever, if I've got a little bit of time and I've got someone who wants to talk to me about it, then yeah, I'll probably release an episode. But either way, the end of this episode is the end of season one. And it'll probably take like a little, at least there will be a break up until What If.
You can tell we've got this plan worked out.
Oh, yeah, so planned out. Okay, I'm going to say it again.
No.
Okay.
It's fine.
So, yeah.
We could take some sort of break.
Dude, this is what I like. I'm like on like stream because my plan, like, I try to schedule as much as I can, but it just, like, it gets interrupted by like a million things. Well, work. It gets interrupted by work. So I have to be like, yeah, guys, do you know, I'm going to start doing like more streams. I'm going to be here and there. It's like, oh, sorry, I have to cancel. Blah, blah, blah. end of season one, couple of weeks break. I'll definitely be probably back. definitely be back.
You see, I've got to work with people.
Yeah, for What If? With one of you lucky people. Whoop, whoop. Okay, so the 11th is 1, 2, 3, 4, just under 4 weeks away. So.
Yeah,
kind of like just shy of a month off.
Mm. The 11th is one of my daughter's birthdays as well, so yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, but yeah, looking forward to, taking a little, not looking forward to taking a break, but getting some thoughts together on what we can do in season two and stuff. But the content that's on the horizon is something very much to look forward to.
So this is the end of our phase one, everybody. Completed 3 TV shows and 1 film.
Yeah.
I guess we did some of the other Marvel films, didn't we? We did some.
Quite
a lot. 21 episodes.
Yeah. 6-7 months we've been doing it. Wow.
Damn.
We didn't do a specific episode to Black Widow.
No.
which I feel like we maybe should have done. I don't know. But depending on scheduling and what content is out at the time, I feel like we will do that for Shang-Chi when that's out on September 3rd.
So it's just because we, when we record, we have this one time slot.
Yeah.
And it's a very short, we're half an hour over right now, for instance. So it kind of has to be one focus.
Yeah.
So it's just a shame that we had Loki and Black Widow to do it at the same time. But hey.
But we'll work it out.
Yeah.
We'll be back in season two.
See you in season two, guys. Lots of love. Thank you for listening for all this time. And see you soon.
Love ya.
Bye. Oh, I'm changing into variant versions of myself. There's millions of me. Ah!
Wow. Wow.